Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Love, Light, and Passion, where award-winning social media professional Wendy Manganiello and her guests talk about turning your ideas and dreams into reality. Wendy believes that every woman can have it all, and she takes away all of the stress that comes with the social media aspect of business by providing a number of resources, including Facebook ad creation and implementation, management, coaching and training, strategy, and so much more. This show is dedicated to the loving memory of Sean Stevenson, whose instinctive ability to motivate others taught Wendy how to take a dream and allow the universe to make it into an abundant reality. Contact Wendy to do the 7 Days to Social Media Sanity Facebook Challenge and have her help you to make your goals and actions match your business plan. Don't end this year not socially ready for next year. And now, your host, Wendy Manganiello.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to Love, Light, and Passion on this beautiful, at least where I'm sitting, gorgeous St. Patrick's Day. Happy St. Patrick's Day. I'm excited to be on air with everybody today. I'm looking forward to this show, and I'll have to tell our guest a little story about when I got her bio and information, the conversation I had probably about an hour beforehand, because our special guest today is, and I hope I'm going to get the name right, Ro Couture Desaro, and she is a coach for heart-centered entrepreneurs. And today we're going to have the special topic of us talking about boundaries, which I think is just incredibly important to everyone for a healthy lifestyle, and we'll get more into that. So right now I'm going to introduce Ro. I'm going to bring her on here. Hi, Ro, how are you?
Hi, I am absolutely wonderful, and you're right, it is a beautiful sunny day, so how can we not be happy?
Yeah, exactly. It's like the Irish little leprechaun are smiling down on us. It's all good.
Yes, I am Irish today.
Yes, everybody's Irish today. I just have to tell you, because I had a conversation with a friend of mine probably 2 hours beforehand, and we were talking about boundaries. It was so funny because we were literally talking about boundaries. And I was like, well, maybe, you know, you may want to look at that. That's all, you know, we were just having that conversation about setting them and why they're good for your life. And I literally think I got your email about your talking points an hour later. I was like, well, that's deja vu. That's a very
serendipity.
Yes, extremely serendipity. So, before we get into that, let's talk about you, because your name came through, I believe, Sue Erda, who we've had on the show, and you can listen back at her show from Powerful You. And I just want to, before we jump into the topic, get to know you a little bit, because this is the first time Ro and I are talking. Some of my guests I've spoken to beforehand, and some is magic. All the magic happens live right on air. So just give me a little bit of your background, because I find that there's always a story in how somebody gets to be a coach, and not only a coach, why they choose the type of coaching that they do. And it's usually based on something that's happened in their own life. So give us a little bit about your background and how you kind of got to where you are right now.
Oh, absolutely. I would love to do that. And before I do that, I just wanted to also mention that I'm also an eWomen Network member.
Ah.
I'm a platinum member, so we have that in common as well.
Yes, we do.
Yeah, so I just wanted to mention that. And remember Alice in Wonderland going down, you know, the rabbit hole? And she was like falling and falling and falling, and it seemed like she was going nowhere fast, but then ultimately she found her Wonderland.
Yes.
Well, I look back at my life, and I really think they wrote that part for me. Because, I mean, I look at it, I feel like I was Alice. You know, my work in life has been consumed with falling down with one rabbit hole after another. And yet all those rabbit holes really eventually brought me to my paradise. And interesting enough, though, is though I started out on top. I started in Wall Street back in the early 80s. And I was young, and I was basically had this vision that women can do this, and I'm going to go out and prove it. And why God gave me that vision and that belief, I don't know. But I grew up as a tomboy. But I always just had that feeling and that belief, and that propelled me to go to Wall Street and just have that tunnel vision and be able to not have the fear and the self-doubt, because it wasn't about me. It was about a movement that I started in 1980 about women, that women can do this. And within 6 months, I got the promotion. I broke several glass ceilings. I was a vice president, and everything was going great. And then the stock market crashed in 1987. And I was with E.F. Hutton and Company. If I don't know how old and you know anyone else here is, but if you're my age, you certainly remember E.F. Hutton. They were one of the most prominent Wall Street firms. And when they went under, I went through that mergers and acquisitions, and all the men were taking whatever job they can. It was like 2008, 2009, same kind of scenario.
Uh-huh.
And me being a woman, I was this like gutsy woman. Well, I'm not a breadwinner, so I don't have to do what you were doing, and I'm not going to step down. So I was like almost like kind of like keeping my boundaries right there and saying that, you know, the men have to do it because they're forced to do it because society tells them they have to, you know, continue putting bread on the table. Well, I'm going to go do what I want to do. And so after a couple of years of those mergers and acquisitions, I decided to go out on my own as an entrepreneur. And I did very well. I went into direct sales, and I really did very well. And then I became a national sales director for a direct sales company. But then that went under, so it was like everything kept on like falling apart every time I built it up to a certain point. And for 10 years, my whole 90s was just me going back and forth between corporate America and being on my own. Because whenever I was in corporate America, I did well. I actually made six figures in three different industries. But when I went on my own, I would fall flat on my face. I would, you know, maybe get to 50, 60,000 a year, and I just couldn't break past that. And so it took me long to learn that lesson that working for yourself is not the same as working for a company. I was trying to be jack of all trades, and that's not what I'm cut out to do, and no one is cut out to do that. And, you know, I was trying to do it all by myself, trying to do it alone. I'm this gutsy gal. I'm this, you know, I was just Wall Street, you know, woo-hoo, and I'm going to do it on my own type of thing. And then I went back to Wall Street. And I was doing well. I was a stock trading company. I became partners with them. We ultimately became partners with E-Trade. Now I'm like, I'm owning the company. I'm a partner and working on Wall Street. I have the best of both worlds. Everything is great. That was in 1999. And then 2001, I was a 9/11 survivor overnight. And that day just changed everything for me. And ultimately, my stock trading business blew up because of that, and we shut it down a few years later, and I lost everything again. When I brought it back up, totally lost everything. And when I had to write a book, and it was for Sue Erter, and this is a facilitator for Power for You Networking Group, and Sue was bringing out a book, and here I am promoting the book. To all of her members saying, you know, an anthology book, it's Inspiring Transformations for Women was the name of the book. And it was about go out there and find women who wanted to share their story. Meanwhile, my gut was telling me, I would love to put my story in this book. I know I have a story out there, but I had zero confidence with my writing skills. Mm-hmm. I was always a marketing and sales and get out there and sell to the stockbrokers. That I could do. But to me, put a story together, I totally was like, no, I cannot do that. And I got that email from Sue saying, last call of looking for, you know, we're seeking and searching the right person to be part of this book. And I just had a conversation with her, and her conversation made it comfortable. And I just said, okay. I just said yes. Didn't know how or what I was going to do, and that literally changed my whole life. And it really brought me to where I am today because it just opened up a lot of doors. It opened up my thinking. It made me revisit what happened on 9/11 because she wanted me to write about it because she knew I was a survivor. And I never really looked at the lessons from it. But once I did, I realized that I was so powerful that day. And I was like, at a time when I felt lost and I'd lost all my gutsiness, I lost everything, here I am in the heat of the moment. Everyone is leaving and I'm staying behind trying to find my friends because my car was parked on the river on the other side. And I let three of my boats go by that day. What does that say about me? And made me realize that I am a powerful person. I am strong. God gave me this ability to help and serve others. So why am I not out there doing that? And, you know, from that and doing more and more self-discovery, I just realized that what I always wanted to do was empower women. I always been a mentor and I've been a cheerleader for women my whole entire life. And I'm always out there helping. I'm the one that's always inspiring possibilities in women my whole life. And I'm like, I need to do this for a living. And so 3 years ago at 56 years old, that's what I turned my life into. And I say I found my calling. So it's never too late. And I feel 3 years later, it still feels like day one for me.
That's amazing. That, you know, and I'm recording live in from Louisville, but I'm an East Coast girl, and I think your story, because I'm from North Jersey, but originally I'm from North Jersey and spent most of my childhood and have pictures of me on one of the Twin Towers from when I was younger. But I think that it did profoundly change those who were there, because I know how it profoundly changed me, and I wasn't as close, and it profoundly changed those, and to see those who had people connected right there that day, it profoundly changed those family members too.
And absolutely. I think it changed our perspective of life, right?
It really did. And I don't know about you, but for the first time, and it could be just my experience based on what I was going through then, but I felt like for the first time in this country, although everybody came together, there was nobody who you could talk to who wasn't kind of going through the same thing. Because usually when you go through something, there's some girlfriend out there that's like not going through that, so they have a better perspective of it. And I think that everybody was going through a change at the same time at that point. It was a very strange energy to the world because of it. Saying that, though, I think it's amazing because, like you, I think there are people who walked away from that day with a different perspective, and the importance of what I would call for you living in your zone of genius, because you found what you really kind of been called, and that day kind of took away any of that extra things, you know, the bright shiny object. You know, maybe I'll do this, and I find that incredible, because most of us don't have something so overwhelmingly powerful to make that change. So kudos to you for that.
Yes, it's true that, you know, why do we have to wait for a tragedy to happen for us to have these realizations? And that's part of my mission of what I love to do is to, you know, let's find this out, because you want to find this out now, not because you got this rude awakening.
Right.
You know, and you're right. And I realized that prior to that, I went to Wall Street because I was following the money. I went to direct sales because I was trying to follow the freedom. And what I really realized is all I needed to follow was my passion and my purpose.
And for those listening, because I'm all about heart centers, entrepreneurs. I'm actually redoing my business for that right now. But for those who don't know what that means, explain in your words what a heart-centered entrepreneur is.
A heart-centered entrepreneur is someone who wants to have a business that honors who she is, that honors everything that she stands for, honors everything that she believes in, and and is done in a way that she wants to make an impact in the world, make a contribution to the world, but also in do it from, so you're serving others, so you're doing it from that perspective, but you also you want to build a business that is not going to also give you another job that's just going to be like a full-time energy-sucking job.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's two sides to that. So you care about others, you're here to serve, and you're here to help others, but I want to work with those individuals on how to build a business and make it a lucrative, sustainable business that will pay you well and give you the time freedom and give you the lifestyle that you want. Because if you're helping others, you're going to change the world, you deserve all of that. So you deserve to have it all.
I couldn't agree with you more. And that leads us up to really our conversation or our topic for today, because I think that you said something very key there. It's about helping others, but being able to be lucrative. And sometimes within that, I know for myself, I don't know about you, but I have turned down clients because, you know, money is one thing, but being able to do what you love and love what you do and then work with people that you really want to work with to do that is part of those boundaries. But let's talk about that for a second, because I think that that's a key to our conversation is, first of all, when you say the word boundaries, what does that mean to you? And what do you think is probably the hardest part of heart-centered entrepreneurs setting a boundary?
Boundaries, in its essence, what it says is it's saying what is okay and what's not okay.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what's acceptable and what's not acceptable. And it's about bringing the empathy and the compassion. I always say that the gift of boundaries is your compassion and empathy for others. So, you know, setting those boundaries is important because it's you strengthening yourself, but then it also empowers others. Because people, it's kind of, think of even like a leaders and followers, like people want to follow the leader. So when you have a boundary and you've set it with your client, let's say from a business perspective, and it's a healthy client boundary, you're helping the client by doing that. Because that's why they're, even if they're as a coach, or as whatever service they're hiring you for, or the product you're buying, is they're looking for support and they're looking for help, and that's why they're buying it. So if you're giving them that boundary, you're making it easy for them to achieve. And the reason it's so hard to set is because a lot of women look at boundaries as something that is selfish and something that is, maybe it's not kind or it's rude. And that's why it's so hard for them to set. Because women, we don't do that very well because we're compassionate and we're warm and we want everyone to like us, right?
Right.
And so we don't see it as a generosity side of it. We look at it as almost like a selfish act when, in its sense, it's more compassionate than anything.
And let's talk about that. So what type of boundaries in a business? See, and I know for myself, it's been definitely a learning process, I think. And I'm sure you would agree that some business owners are great at setting boundaries from the start. And others, it's a learning process of, that didn't feel good. Don't want to do that again. And let me kind of set this boundary earlier. But what type of boundaries do you see heart-centered entrepreneurs or entrepreneurs in general start to break, and then they kind of have to backtrack to undo what they set up?
There's two main areas. There's the time boundaries, and then there is what I call the money boundaries. And time boundaries, most of us can pretty much think on the top of our head where that comes into play, and you know how that's like, you know, even like a time boundary with your email. You know, every time your email things and you're watching it, you read it, and you respond, well, you're letting others dictate your time because you're responding to something that they sent to you, right?
Mm-hmm.
So there's those boundaries. But the boundaries that I really like to spend some time on that I don't hear anyone really talking on it that much and it's so important with heart-centered entrepreneurs, and it's an area that they struggle with, is the money boundaries. And the money boundaries is all about being strong when, let's take it with the fees. When you're discussing your fees, or when you are, over-delivering product, giving up too much time, letting clients control your time of what you give in service, meaning that you over-deliver, so that they paid you X amount of dollars for XYZ service, and they're now sucking so much more out of you, and you're delivering so much more than they paid for, and you're allowing that to happen because you don't know how to say no, because you don't want to feel like you're afraid that they're going to, like, not be your client anymore or things like that, or that fear of rejection. And so that comes into play. So let's say when you offer a fee and then the person's coming back and they're saying they can't afford it, and you decide, and you're deciding whether they can afford it or not, and you're acting accordingly to that, you're disempowering that individual. And what's happening is you're not setting your boundaries, and then you discount your fees, you let your money boundaries out the window, and you didn't help them, because it's really never about the money. And you let them believe it's about the money. So how did you help that person, letting them continue to think that the reason why they're not successful is because they don't have the money to do what they need to do? Does that make sense?
It makes perfect sense. Oh, my gosh. You could be my twin sister out there on this topic. Because it's so funny that you say that, because I went through a period of time where I worked with somebody who spent an awful lot of time trying to figure out that right price just in case they had to mark it down. So when I went out on my own in business, that was the one thing I was like, that's it, I'm not doing that. And it was a really hard lesson to watch how we struggle because of that mindset. Because to me, it's telling somebody that you're not worth it before you even start.
Exactly.
So,
how is the client going to look at you, or the prospect look at you and say, this person is the expert that I want to hire because she is worth it, when you just presented yourself as not worthy?
Yes, you could be my
twin. Presenting yourself as not worthy, but you want the other person on the other side to see you as worthy. They can't see you as worthy if you're not showing up that way. So,
right.
Really what it is, and you know what the truth of the matter is that you really have no idea, you have no idea for your client at that moment of stepping up and investing in your services is the moment they've been waiting for. And if you don't give them every ounce of ability to do that, then you're disempowering them. So, because maybe it's so important to them that they'll find the money. Don't rob people of the power of this moment by lowering your price. When someone pays a healthy amount of money for something, they value it dramatically more than something that they got at a discount. It's psychology. It's psychology. And it doesn't make us bad people. And when you look at the value of your programs, it's not the time that you spent. It's what they're going to get out of it. If somebody invests in my program, whatever the amount is, and they go out and turn their business into a six-figure business and a seven-figure business, they're going to make that money year after year after year after year. And what's the value of that? And if they do that, they're going to affect their family, and they're going to affect their children, and they're going to affect the community. What's the value of that? So, sticking to a price is such an important boundary. And it doesn't mean you don't help them. And it's all about us listening. And it's about, so maybe it's, okay, we should spend, maybe I originally said we're going to spend 2 hours a month together, and money is an issue. So let's see if we could do an hour a month, and therefore we could have a price that's value. So you're still getting paid your worth. But there's always something that could be worked out. That holds them powerful. And that's an important boundary. So the belief is that when we look at people are saying whether they can afford our services or not, and we're making that assumption for them, and I call it we're playing God, because that's not our decision whether they can afford it or not, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's their decision. But your belief that's stopping you from that is that the other person getting what they want is more important than me. And when women start, when we hold ourselves and we have that self-love and we hold ourselves powerful, then we could be better servers to others.
So let me ask you, because I can't agree with you more about this whole topic, but let me ask you this, because and I talk to a lot of business owners too, and they're in the hole, they're in the rabbit hole, they're with Alice in the rabbit hole, and they've gone, oh my gosh, I'm not charging enough, I'm not, you know, and it, you know, not even like I gave them what we agreed on only, but it's still, I'm realizing that that's not the value of my service. So then you have a whole set of women who go, I really should up my price, but I'm afraid, you know. And I think that plays into boundaries too, is having the boldness to be able to say when it's okay to up the price to get the right client to you, because you're figuring out your worth. So how do you help women transition from, okay, I'm charging this price today and I still want to hang on to those clients. How do I approach that and set that new boundary that starting this date forward, this is my new price with that client, and walking through that fear?
Well, it's all in the mindset, because first of all, it's the mindset. If you look at it, every store, there's cost of inflation. Every store, everything we see, don't we see prices going up?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that is part of doing business, is that people, they're out there, they're getting the experience, they're getting the results, therefore they warrant the ability, their value is to charge higher, because, and they're not just charging higher to charge higher so that they can make more money. They're charging higher because they're trying to align their value with their price. That's a big difference. You know, when people look at other people's prices and say, okay, that sounds good, I'm just going to price mine at that as well, that's not the way you price your programs. You price your programs based on your value.
Right.
So they have to, so it's the mindset, they have to truly understand what their value is. Once you understand what your value is and what you're giving, then you're more comfortable to say, okay, I understand what I'm giving and where it's coming from. So therefore, you know, it makes them more comfortable to raise their prices. They're not going to raise their prices. You know, it's raising prices with current customers going forward.
Mm-hmm.
And they could have a conversation with other clients about, you know, on renewal with prices going up. They could always offer the opportunity of a client say, listen, I'm about to raise my prices. Our program, you know, ends in, say, 2 months from now. I'm going to give you the opportunity, if you want to, you know, if you want to continue working with me and you want to continue working with me, I'll give you the opportunity to work with me at the current price and not the increased price. Otherwise, if you wait, I'm just letting you know now ahead of time, I'm giving you a courtesy. That's all this is. It's just an invitation. It's just a courtesy call letting you know of something that's coming down the road.
Mm-hmm.
You're saying that?
Right.
So it's about the mindset of looking that I'm helping this person. I'm not calling them and just saying, I'm going to charge you more.
I like that. I
so
like
you
that.
Come from that place, if you come from the right place in your heart, and while you're doing it, then it makes it comfortable. And when it's comfortable, you're more likely to do it.
So let me ask you this, and that goes the same thing, because then there's the whole idea of being able to package something so that it's affordable too, because, and I see this a lot, you know, when you look at, excuse me, other coaching factors and stuff, they start to do this. Okay, it's still this price, but, or even if you go to any of the like freemium sites or whatever,
mm-hmm.
it gives you that ray of like you can pay this monthly for this price or yearly and get a discount. So I think there's always a way to work that out and still keep your price set.
Yeah. you can work out. I work out. Well, I always show the full price first.
Mm-hmm.
But here's the full price if you want to work with me, and I don't go right down to, if I'm speaking to them, right down to the payment plan. Let them come and say, so what are you thinking? You know, and it could be the full price on, say, a 3-month package or a 6-month or a 6-month or a 12-month, whatever the case is. You have like a choice. And then let them do the talking and you're just doing the listening. And if the listening is that, well, it's just about the money, and if it was for free, I'd be doing it. If, once you've narrowed all that out and make you, and you are pretty confident and that the only thing that's stopping them is that money, then you're like, well, would a payment plan help you? I could do a payment plan, and here's how that works.
Mm-hmm.
You know, then what I do is I have something, I don't see a lot of people doing it. I see that several, you know, experienced coaches doing it, but I do what's called a quick decision price, because even if you read the Think and Grow Rich book, one of the uh-huh. biggest areas was making quick decisions. If you look at statistically all the successful people's, their ability to make quick decisions and then stand by their decision, you know, own that decision. And if they need to change this decision, fine, they need to change the decision and own that as well. So making quick decisions, for me, it's always about making the commitment, because we know that's what is going to make people move to the next level. It's not the money that they spend, it's the commitment.
Right.
So I honor them that if you're willing, if you're going to make this commitment and make this commitment today, then here's my quick decision price, because I will, you know, I value that. So, you know, I give that value back to make a quick decision. And now basically they looked at this higher price, and now you looked at the quick decision price, which isn't, it's like a little bit less, but not like half price.
But mm-hmm.
they see it in a whole different light. Now you really, because what you're talking then is really the results that you give to them. You're reviewing that and you make them realize, you make them see the value of what you're giving. I don't talk pricing so much. I talk value. And when they see the value and they start, and now you're taking them out of their head thinking like, I can't afford it. And they're thinking small instead of saying, I had a client yesterday. I said, you know, she did a workshop, and she's charging $10 for a workshop. And it's, like, amazing. I'm like, if you just charged $47 for that workshop and had 20 people, how much will you make? Will you pay that? Can you use that money just to invest in yourself to grow? And she was like, I didn't even realize that. You know, it's kind of like I learned the story once of if I gave you a Ferrari tomorrow, and I said, this Ferrari is yours. You know, free and clear, where you take it, and you're like, I can't afford the maintenance, I can't afford the insurance, I can't afford the gas, if anything breaks on the Ferrari, oh my God, the expenses on that, I can't afford it. I would say, well, I didn't say you had to keep the Ferrari, I would give you the Ferrari, couldn't you resell it and make money? And they're
mm-hmm.
like, oh, I didn't even really think of that. So a lot of times, we're thinking in our head of all the what's not going to work and how am I going to pay for this, how am I going to pay for this, and you're not seeing the possibilities of, wow, I'm going to learn, and because I'm going to learn, I'm going to be able to earn more, and I'm going to get a return on my investment. So it's all mindset.
So here's my, and I agree with you so much on that. It is really about the mindset. And the mindset really, I think it comes with the attitude you have while you're working with people too, because and I think this goes along with what your idea of the gutsy gal is, that your confidence in what you're saying has a lot to do with how well somebody receives it on the other side.
Absolutely. It's the belief in yourself. It's your presence. It's how you show up. And that's what a gutsy gal is. A gutsy gal is a woman who's showing up in her authentic self and believing in herself and knows what she has to offer and is not afraid to share it.
And I think that's really important. And part of that, I have this down as one of the things to discuss with you, and it's so important to me, is it goes along with that idea of confidence and knowing and kind of honoring yourself is knowing what to say yes to and mm-hmm. and knowing what does not serve you. And I think that's probably one of the most important tools as a heart-centered entrepreneur, because I think, again, we'll go back to that ideology of if you're new and you're in, you know, I can't tell you how much, and I'm sure you hear it too, well, I need the money, or I need, you know, I need that client, or I need, and they're not really feeling it. They just are, again, going on this idea that this is the ideal they have, and so they're taking on that client, or they're taking on something that really doesn't serve them.
Yep, and that's exactly what I do. In a nutshell, that's my whole point, is really knowing what to say yes to what part and what to say no that doesn't serve you. And the only way to do that is to take a look at it and take a look at what you're doing, what are you giving, where you're giving, what's important and what's not important, what can you let go of and what can you not let go of? You know, where is the point of that totally have to do this? And then that's how you incorporate the boundaries also with your time. Because, you know you have to make phone calls to build a business. So you know that's not something you have to you can cut out. But you can, and for a season. Anytime, you know, sometimes I believe in working strong for a season and then recovery too. So if you have a big project, then maybe you have to let go of a little bit more for a temporary purpose, meaning maybe you're not doing entertainment, maybe you're not doing a lot of that fun stuff as much, because you need to put some extra time into this project. But knowing that at the end of that project, maybe you have a vacation set right after that so that you can recover and get that balance still. So sometimes that has to be that way. It all depends on what you do for a living. And sometimes, you know, in the balance, there's always that day-to-day balance, but sometimes there's that seasonal type of balance as well. And it's not being afraid to say yes. You know, the problem I see with women is that they're looking for they're getting ready to be ready to take action. And they're waiting for the perfect moment. And they're waiting for their perfect selves. And they're waiting for the perfect time. And you know, I'm the person that's there to say there'll never be a perfect moment and you'll never be ready. So you have to say yes to opportunities. And you have to say yes without knowing the answers and not be afraid to do that. But you also have to know when to say no so that you can be your best self, so that you could not have your energy drained or your creativity drained because you were overgiving. You know, we didn't start a business so that we could get our vitality and our creativity drained because we were overgiving and saying yes to things we shouldn't be saying yes to. And if we can't be our most creative self and our most energetic self, then we're not being our best self, and then we can't serve the world as well, when we're not at our best.
And I completely agree with that. And so here's another kind of topic that fishtails on that. I know a lot of entrepreneurs, and it's not about the set aside the commitment or the cost. They say, you know, they're still trying to do it all. So which you touched on. So they're doing all of the emails, they're doing all of the content creation, they're meeting with all the clients, and they're completely burned out because they're trying to be seven different hats in their own business. And so as far as boundaries are set, what tips can you give to women to say, okay, this is when it's important to hire somebody on? Even if it is 2 hours a week to answer your emails or whatever it is, so that you don't go past that tipping point, because that's another boundary that we can do it all and we can do it better, so I'm not going to hire anybody. And then they burn themselves out.
Yes. And that was exactly what I was going to say, is that that's when they need to outsource. And that was my problem. I was trying to, you know, I was a strong woman and I'm like, I could do it all. And no, I can't do it all. I'm not good at everything. And I certainly can't do technology. That's for sure. In certain things, but it's, you got to realize and know, what is my time worth? What is the value of my time? And if I, you know, if you're going to put yourself into it and be, I'm the CEO of my business and put a money goal and say, and your money goal is say 100,000. If I'm making 100,000, what is the person who's making 100,000 time do with her time? And what is her time worth? So when you're realizing what your time is worth, you'll make different decisions. And so if your time, and if you take out, like, even add up what your current income is and say it's XYZ and you want to work X amount of hours, you don't want to work 40 hours, say even if you want to work 30 hours a week, whatever it may be, and you calculate that to how many, what that is per hour, and it comes down to like, oh, I average $100 an hour, I average $150 an hour. Well, then why are you doing a job that you could pay for $20 an hour?
Right.
So hire that person out to do that job for $20 an hour so you can do what you do best. And you'll wind up, everyone that does it, when they finally just bite that bullet, sometimes you just got to bite the bullet and do it. There's no, it doesn't have to be a logical reason why you're doing it. You just have to say yes and not be, you got to say yes to scary situations and not worry and just trust and have faith that it's going to work out. And the other thing is, with the burnout, is that they're trying to do everything without a rhyme or a reason. There's strategies, there's systems, and you got to do the right thing at the right time. If you try to do all the marketing strategies at once, it's going to fail. You can't do all marketing strategies simultaneously unless mm-hmm. you have a team, unless you have hired a team to do it all. So
right.
you have to at least, if you're not going to hire somebody, which I think is crazy, but if you're not going to, you have to at least say, okay, you have to take a look and analyze your business, where you're getting your clients from, where's my marketing giving my most bang for my buck, and then say, okay, it's networking events. Well, then this is what I need to focus on because this is where I seem to get all my clients from. And not be, I have to be on LinkedIn, and I have to be on Facebook, and I have to be Instagram, and I have to do a blog, and I have to do a blab, and I have to do this, that, and everything else. So, you know, do the right marketing strategy that works for your business and that works for you and that you're in alignment with who you are so that you feel good about it. But ultimately, you really need to hire people and kind of do both at the same time. And that's where, you know, again, I was doing it on my own and I was just trying to do everything and not realize that, well, I need to do lead generation before I do a webinar.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Sometimes we get our marketing mixed up and it's not in the right order or at the right time for where you are at your business. You know, they're trying to go online before they built up a solid business, you know, like a one-to-one type of business, and they try to grow too fast. Yeah. Grow too fast usually suffers.
Mm-hmm. I can't agree with you more, and it's so funny because that you say that. I have for years done other companies' social media. And not only have I done that, I've written that part of marketing strategies. And ultimately, any company that does not have their other marketing in place and look at it holistically to have it in place so that they have somebody to market to, it does not work well. To the point where I stopped doing other people's social media and just let go of a whole bunch of clients and working with women entrepreneurs just to work on, you can take what you do face-to-face and then turn it into something that resonates online with that very community, because it's the missing step, because there's some sort of disconnect between, I'm going to walk into a room and I would never say just buy something from me for walking in a room. You build a relationship. But when I get online, I have that expectation. And so I completely agree with you, because then they get burned out and they think they have to be on everything. And really, most of their clients aren't on every single one of them. They're on a few. And if they took the time to network and get to know who their real ideal client is, they'd know where they are online and could do something to actually resonate with them without trying to oversell to them and build it. Because it, for me, it's relationship building either way. And those are the best clients that I have, is the ones that I've built relationships to get. That's just
and you bring up a pet peeve. You bring up a pet peeve of mine is niche marketing.
Yep.
And you know, especially with heart-centered women and healers, which I have a lot of my clients are in that area. They want to help everyone.
Mm-hmm.
And they want to help the world, and they don't want to like leave. They don't want to, you know, not be there for somebody that wants them. And they mm-hmm. think when they, if they do a niche and they haven't, you know, create that avatar of that ideal client, they're going to let somebody, then you know, someone's going to be a disservice because of that.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't realize that when you niche and you get to know exactly what's keeping them up at night, and you get to know all their pains and all their challenges, you could better serve them, and you could talk to them where they could listen. And we do the elevator pitches, and we do the marketing, and we send out messages, and we're trying to appeal to everybody. Mm-hmm. I see this especially with women who want to work both corporate and with women in business, and they're trying to talk to both sides at the same time in the same sentence. It's never going to work. No one's going to hear what you say, and therefore no one is going to come up and say, hey, I want to know more about what you're doing.
Yeah.
You got to, the only way to like when I know with healers, when I say about speak their truth and find their voice, I almost always get some kind of healer come up to me and say, I need to find my voice.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's my problem. I mean, I know I'm great at what I do, but I don't know how to promote, and I don't know how to get that message out there. And if I didn't know that about them, and I wouldn't say that. And then how would they get them to hear that there is a solution out there?
Right.
And there's somebody that has a solution. And so it's the biggest mistake that I see women make is they try to market to everyone as well, besides doing all the different marketing strategies. They're also trying to market to the world.
Yes. Yeah, I could not agree with you more.
I mean, do we just, how much more do we want to put on our plate?
Well, and the other thing, let me ask you your experience with this then, because this is, and I'm glad that we're bringing this up. And this is the truth from two marketers. So these are, and I'm sure with you, this comes from experience of doing it and failing. Is my other thing, which again, I think this leads right back into boundaries, is not only do they want to serve everybody, but they think they have no competition when they do that. I'm like,
right.
Yes, so what's going to set you apart? Because if you don't know what sets you apart, your potential clients won't set you know what sets you apart, which leads you right back into the price thing because they're like, well, that other person pays the same exact amount. I can't tell you how many times where they're like, well, nobody else does this. Yes, they do. You know what I mean? Oh,
yep.
That's my pet peeve. Yes. You do have a competitor, and let's look at what they're doing and what really sets you apart so that you don't get into that price war with a potential client.
Right. And that's what branding is all about, is just being able to stand out from the crowded market so that people can hear. Listen, everything we speak on, it's been around for centuries,
mm-hmm.
especially with the mindset stuff. I mean, we are learning a lot more about the brain and heart intelligence and all of that. But basically, it's still a lot of it is still the same stuff. So if there's so many personal development gurus out there, what makes you different from one from the other? And
right.
And that's why I work so much with my clients. I spend so much time on who they are, what are their core values, you know, what are they, you know, what really drives them, and what's their unique brilliance. And I can't tell you how hard and how long it is for someone to figure out their unique brilliance. And I went through this myself, and it took me, it takes work. So if that comes down to that same old story that's centuries old, that the successful people are willing to do the work that the unsuccessful people are not willing to do. So you got to work on, and you got to work on yourself. You know, what do you stand for? What are you an expert at? Once you know all that, then you can implement your marketing strategies. Then you can work on, well, who do I serve best and who am I meant to serve? You know, who's my soul client is what I say. You know, we look for a soul mate in a spouse. Well, we need to look for a soul client as well. And like you said that earlier about not taking on that client that you know is going to really create a bigger pain and take up more time, and you knew that, but you didn't want to say no because the money sounded good or whatever
right.
reason.
Right.
And, I say that now, like, you know, I'm in my 50s, so I'm like, I don't have any time to deal with clients I don't like.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have the patience for that, and I wish I had something I learned when I was younger, but it's okay. That's why I love being in my 50s, because the wisdom has been amazing.
Well, and I have to say, and I've learned some very harsh life lessons that way. I will tell you this funny story. So I took on a client, and I'm not going to – it was in an industry that I totally do not believe in. It wasn't any – I'm not a gun girl. That's just not me. For me, it's not for my family. And I decided that because the person was nice that I could get over this – and represent something that had to do with guns. And it was, and so the other part of that is not only knowing who you are and knowing who you'll serve, but making sure that when you serve those people, that it sits in your boundaries of who mm-hmm. what types of businesses you want to serve. Mm-hmm. And it was like, that was the last straw. I was like, you know what? That, and it was a little while ago, so it wasn't recent, but I was like, you know what? That is the last straw. I cannot work, and I have to be mindful to know that no amount of money is worth taking on a client that doesn't sit well with you inside.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. That happened to me actually in the corporate world as well when I was trying to leave Wall Street and try to leave New York. I had moved to New Jersey. And so I was trying to, like, cut down my commuting time because I had kids and did that 40 and pregnant thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to and I came from major Wall Street firms like the Goldman Sachs of the world.
Mm-hmm.
And so I didn't realize that these little regional firms in New Jersey were, like, the kind of firms that you see on the movie Wall Street.
Mm-hmm.
And I got into one of those, and they hired me to recruit the brokers. And it was a penny stock firm, so they were just these brokers that were calling and selling all these IPOs, new offerings. And I didn't realize what, like, it's almost like such a scam type
uh-huh.
of thing. You know,
uh-huh.
it was like Wall Street. And they had a woman who, she was a stripper at one point in her life that wanted uh-huh. to hire that. And she had her act together. She had everything was coming together, and so she did that in her past. That's fine. I had one of my college roommates did that to make money, and she just, you know, all she did was dance and nothing else, but she
uh-huh.
made good money. And they wouldn't hire her. And I had a guy who had a criminal record of attempted homicide, and they were going to allow him. And that's when I was like, that's when my eyes opened up. And I wasn't with them for that long. I think it was like less than 2 months. I was like, I cannot work for a company like this. There's
mm-hmm.
no way that I could feel good going to sleep at night that this is what I'm doing when I realized what was going on. But I was naive when I first started. I didn't know.
Right. Right. Exactly.
I didn't realize.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the same thing with clients. It's like, well, that's why I do conversations. I don't do consultations so that I have an opportunity to sell them. It
mm-hmm.
really is about seeing if I'm a fit for them and if they're a fit for me. Because if we're a fit for each other, we're going to have a great relationship. If we're not a fit for each other, you still need the service, but maybe I'm not the right person to provide that
right.
service for you. Somebody else is. And if we could
right.
all see that, we would all have much better relationships.
We would in everything.
In everything.
Well, I can't believe it. We only have like 6 minutes left, and I want you, because we do have your commercial that'll play on the end with all of your information, but I do want you to talk about awakening your inner gutsy gal and take about a couple minutes because I think that would be advantageous for our listeners to know if they have it in them and what to do to get that to come out.
Interesting. I would say to everybody to really realize and recognize that you have a voice. You have people to help. And you have a purpose to fulfill. You know, I always say I hold everyone powerful. That's actually one of my unique brilliances is I don't judge anybody or anything, and I'm able to just look at everybody for the beautiful human being that they are. So I'd like women to know that they are luminous, they are passionate, they're provocative, they can be engaging, they're brilliant. And the only way to let you shine is to be you, you know, which really means to build your business by setting and maintaining those boundaries in all areas of your life. But it means you stepping up and owning who you are, and just know that you are perfect and everything happens in the perfect time and the perfect reason. But there is somebody, there are tons of people who need what you have, and only the way that you could provide it. Even if it's the same thing, we all do the same thing, doesn't matter. You provide it in the only unique way, because only you had those unique experiences that brought you to that moment in time to present what you can in that way. And just recognize that, and just, and then have the guts to not compromise, to really not compromise your values, not compromise your family and your life, and, you know, set your limits and put your foot down when called on. Be brave to be passionate and committed to only doing what you do best, no matter what, you know. So just take the firm belief that if you take action using your unique brilliance, what you create will be extraordinary. So, you know, create that business of life that honors who you are. It's fun, it's fulfilling, and make the money you deserve.
Well, thank you so much. I am so glad that, you were able to be on air with me today. It was a great show, and I think that our listeners learned a lot. We are going to play your commercial, but if you could let everybody know the best way to contact you if they want to reach out and speak to you and get any other further information.
Absolutely, and I would love to offer, you know, anyone, any of your listeners, if they want to have a 30-minute gut-to-gal talk with me, I'd be happy to do that. And just be total, give value, and hopefully just come up with one aha, one tip, one thing to move forward from that call. I would be honored to do that. They can reach me at my email, roe@beagutsygal.com, so BEAGUTSYGAL.com, or they could even call me. I mean, I believe my phone number is there, 732-673-1763.
Okay,
and
great.
So we're on your radio.
Great. I am so excited that you were on air with us today, and that you could share some of this, because I think it's important for every woman business owner to hear about setting boundaries and being able to do it in a confident, gutsy way. So thank you. We have run out of time this week, and we will be back. Looking forward to getting feedback on this show, as always. Have a great week, and we will talk to you next week.
Thank you for having me.
Would you like to know how to awaken your inner gutsy gal so you can have more courage and confidence? Do you know how to create boundaries for yourself, so you know when to say yes versus when to say no? One thing that Roe Couture de Saro has learned in her 30-plus years of mentoring women is women are born brave, but taught to be scared. Even with all of their accomplishments academically, they are still playing small today. Women are limiting themselves when they live by someone else's rules and boundaries. Roe is here to show you that success is your choice. You have a voice, people to help, and a purpose to fulfill. You are luminous, passionate, and brilliant. The only way to let you shine is to be you. Contact Roe Couture de Saro today at GutsyGalsGetMore.com. Join the Gutsy Gal movement and be the leader you were meant to be. You've been listening to Love, Light, and Passion with Wendy Manganaro. Visit her at www.socialabundancemarketing.com.